I was told that the heat's not on, even though they came here this week to service it. Maybe they maybe they did something they weren't supposed to do. I don't know, but I think it's cool. I think it's nice. Yes, I like this temperature. But just bear with us and keep yourself your coat warm if you're a little chilly. But I'm so glad you're here today, because even though the heater's not working, we have a building right, not outside, right? Right. Which would lead me into a lot of things that I want to talk about. But first of all, thank you for Operation Christmas Child. Thank you. I mean, I think it's wonderful what the Lord has done through his people. I do. I just think it's a wonderful thing. And he amazes us year after year. And, you know, and when I thank him, I'm also thanking each one of us, because it is our obedience. It's our faithfulness to just trust God and to give as we are able to give. And, you know, God multiplies it. He really does. And we had Shoebox Collection in Bethel this morning in New Jersey, because they don't do the packing like, they do it like how we used to do it years back. They bring in boxes, and we counted 102 boxes, maybe a few more coming. I think that's wonderful. So we got 100 coming out of New Jersey, 100 plus going out of New Jersey, and we'll see our final count, and the Glory will give us all those totals next week, as well as when we know where they go to. And again, as she said, there is more money that came in than even covering the shoe boxes and the freight, and there'll be some other ways to bless people around the world. Amen? It's just a beautiful, wonderful thing. So let's thank Jesus, but let's thank one another too. Praise God. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. You're going to think this is contrived, but it's not. I have a little backstory too, but the message today is on thankfulness. And it's not just because Thanksgiving's coming up, and it's not just because I'm thankful for the Operation Christmas Child. Let's pray. Father, bless your word now to our hearts. Open our ears to hear it, our hearts to receive it. Let us be full of joy and gladness in all things. Lord, let these lips speak the words you would have them speak. Let our hearts be prepared to receive them as our ears hear them. And let us rejoice with what you will do through the implanting of your word, that it would bear much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, thankfulness is a very, very prominent theme in the Bible. It is. You see it all over the place. Noah, Jacob, Hannah, David, Paul, Peter. I mean, you just see themes and themes and stories of thankfulness and thanksgiving. It's amazing how we see that. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says this: rejoice always. Pray, what? Without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I do know and I pray and I hope that you guys have joy and that you are joyful. I hope that you pray and pray continually. That's wonderful. And I know you give thanks. But do you give it in all circumstances? That's the key. I know we give thanks. I know we're thankful for things. I know that runs through our minds and our hearts. But can we say that we are thankful in all circumstances? I like to think, and I believe, that I'm for the most part a thankful person. And I like to think about the things that I am thankful for and thank God for those things and try to be thankful in situations. But I know, like all of us, there's times that it's hard to be thankful. It's hard sometimes. And the last few weekends, we were supposed to go away for a day for my birthday. Meg was not feeling well. next week, last week, she wasn't feeling well again. And she was getting all down that she hasn't been feeling good these last couple of weeks. And she was upset that we couldn't go celebrate my birthday, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and then we just started to say, okay, well, whatever, you know, let's be thankful for what we can do and all these things. And I said to her this week, I said, you know what? We got so much to do. I said, but how about Saturday? We just get up, just take a ride down the shore, just change our, you know, our view, you know what I mean? Just change our view, eye view, you know, just for a couple of hours. Even if we just go down, we're like, yeah, that's cool, we'll do this. And part of the backstory is, how many of you noticed that they dug up a lot of streets in South Philly? Well, ours are one of the streets that they dug up. And you know, see, I had to explain it to them in Jersey how this goes, but you guys that live down here, and not all of you live here, but most of you do, you know how it goes. They decide, whoever decides on some board somewhere, that they're going to dig up your street. And they're going to repave it, right? And what do? They come down one day, and they move all your cars, and they come down with the stripper, and they... Okay, cool. They're going to repave the street. Yeah, it's cool. Yay! But the street doesn't get repaved. And you're way in, and dust is everywhere, and people are tripping over the holes, and the kids are like falling down, and there's more dust. And then a couple, 3 weeks, month later, they start coming again. Get the cars off, and they come down. And you say, oh, they're going to pave the street. And they're coming. No, they're coming to fix the manholes, fix the sewer things, fix the other stuff. And then, okay, well, at least we're making progress. Well, then after that happens, then you go in some, like, limbo to hopefully get selected that they're going to decide to pave your street finally, which could be months, right? Is it true? So Saturday, we're going to take a ride down, but at 6 o'clock in the morning, we hear, move your cars or you will be towed. Move your cars or you will be towed. All right. So one car was already off the street, so I got the other car, and I said, I'm going to go. I'm thinking, Saturday, nobody's going to be moving. We're going to park this thing. You know, so I got out. God, praise God, got a space right around the corner. I said, hey, this is cool. And I got back, and I said to Meg, but wait, we kind of really can't go now, right? She goes, yeah, we got to kind of be, because you have to, you know. Plus, I'm in two-hour parking, and I figure they're going to give tickets on 2 hours, even though they're moving the street. And I'm like, ah. Oh. So she's like, you know what? Whatever. Let's just be thankful. And we were thankful that we got up, that they're going to pay the street finally. So we start going about, what else can we do today? We're going to be thankful. And we are. We're being thankful. And we got, there's so much we have to do anyway, which, you know, our lives are like that. We're always doing something. We have something to do. All right, let's get this stuff done, and we're doing stuff. And now it's about 12. It's about 6 hours later, and all of a sudden, I'm looking outside, and I say to Meg, look at this. The tow trucks are putting cars in front of our house. So I go to run out, but she beats me. She's like, oh, no, what's going on? She goes, oh, what are you doing? You made us move. She goes, oh, they're stopping down 17, so they're not doing this block today. Now, you know where our thankfulness went? Our thankfulness went out the window, right? But we're still trying to be thankful. So I said, you know what? Well, at least now we can move the cars, because we can park, because we're not doing ours block. I said, so we can move the car back and forth, because we were gonna walk to the supermarket. We were actually going to take one of the kids' strollers and put food like that old thing. So I said, now we can just take the car. We can do what we got to do. She goes, okay, drop me at the store. You go to the thing. And I went to the supermarket. I'm shopping all this stuff. And I figured, hey, you know what? Lord, thank you. We can get stuff done. We can cook. We can do stuff. Okay, cool. I'm in the store. And all of a sudden, I don't get headaches. Meg's the one to get, but I started to get pounding headache. Boom, 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 boom. Come from my neck. Boom. Oh, I'm like, shoo. So I'm like, all right, let me just get finished. And I called Meg when I was getting there. I said, are you ready? Because I hope you are, because I'm getting ready to check out. My head is pounding. She goes, yeah, I'm finishing up now. Blah. So I go out, finally get check out, and I get into the, goes, load my car up. My head's boom, 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 boom. And I hear, sir, this very, like, weak voice, sir. And I look over, and there's this older woman. She says, sir, can you help me put my bags in the car? And I said, sure. So I walk over, and, you know, and I just want to get home, you know. And I'm like, no, let me, it's good. So I'm helping her put the things in the car. She has some heavy bags, and she says, I just had heart surgery.
and she's breathing really heavy. And I went, are you okay? Because I was starting to get concerned, because then I started to kind of pay attention. She was really breathing really heavy. I said, are you okay? And she's like this. She goes, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. She starts saying, Jesus. She goes, Jesus, help me, Jesus. And I said, he will. I said, Jesus will help you. Jesus, she kept saying, Jesus. I said, listen, Jesus will help you. I said, and Jesus will never leave you. He promised you that. You know that, don't you? She goes, yeah, I know that. She goes, I said, you're going to be okay. She said, we're going to trust Jesus, you know. And I just, things, she started to get back in her car really slow. And I started to go back to my car. And all of a sudden, Thanksgiving came over me. I said, Lord, you know, this is just a headache. Lord, thank you that I was able to be here to help her put things in the car, that I was also here to encourage her. I hope I encouraged her a little bit just to trust Jesus. It's not easy to be thankful in all circumstances. It's not. It's not. And then I'm thinking, is this the message that for the church or just for me? And I get home and has decoration. A lot of them have scripture verses, and I go to the little powder room we have downstairs, and it talks about, like, praise God when it's this, and the last thing says, thank him in everything. And I went, oh, Jesus. John talked about praising God last week in all circumstances. He talked about the book of thankfulness that he, you know, writes, thank you, you know, answers the prayers, something like this. I want to drill down into thankfulness today, because I believe that we need to hear more about this. Psalm 136, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Some translations say, for his love endures forever. Two reasons to be thankful there. He's good, and his steadfast love and mercy. Amen? See, when we recognize us and ourselves and what we really are, we understand that apart from God, there's only death and hell. Automatically, our response should change, and we should have grateful hearts. David said in Psalm 30, I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths. And not let my foes rejoice over me, O Lord my God. I cried out to you, and you healed me. He brought him up from the pit, he says, he goes on to say. You spared me from going down into it. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent, O Lord my God. And he says, I will give you thanks forever. Wow. Thank you, David, for reminding us of that. Even in the stuff that he was going through, he can remember that God's there and he's going to thank him forever. Whatever these difficult circumstances were going on in his life, and we know David had a lot of difficult circumstances. And what that psalm and many other psalms say is it's a statement to God's character. It's so wonderful that praise is the only appropriate response. You know, Psalm 28, David says, praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. In the midst of it all, God, I'm going to thank you, and I'm going to even sing a song to you of thanksgiving. You know, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul was heavily persecuted. You know, David was heavily persecuted at times. You and I go through persecution, and sometimes we go through trials, and we go through fires, and we go through temptations, and we go through things so desperately. And Paul says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. Huh? Wait, Paul, when you were whipped and beaten and shipwrecked and left in the sea and stoned and left for dead, you say God always leads us in a triumphal procession? And you're going to thank him for the victory when all it looks like is defeat? And he goes on to say that there's this fragrance of God, the knowledge of him. Do you know when you and I go through circumstances and you and I can begin to thank God in the midst of those circumstances, giving him thanks in all things, then all of a sudden there's a fragrance that changes. The fragrance of God begins to emanate from our lives, even into our circumstances, because our circumstances may stink. Then all of a sudden the fragrance of a God who loves us, who cares for us, begins to emanate into that. Peter said in his first epistle that when you and I, say it with me, say you and I, I want to make sure you realize this is personal. When you and I go through all kinds of trials, whatever they may be, he says, you could thank God because you're going to be made better than you are already. Oh, yeah, that's easy to say because you ain't going through what I'm going through. Oh, no, 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 no. You and I haven't gone through what these guys have gone through. But not to minimize what we go through. But he says, you can thank him because he's doing something and you may not see it till Jesus Christ is revealed, but you will see it. It's going to come. See, the people of God, we need to be thankful people. One of the things the Bible talks about, that, are any of you familiar that the Bible tells us about what the world's going to be like closer to when we get to the return of Jesus Christ? It's not going to be pretty, is it? No, it's some bad things. And one of the things it actually says in 2 Timothy, when it talks about the characteristics of the last day, you know what one of the characteristics of the people is going to be? Ungrateful hearts. They're ungrateful. See, we as Christians should be thankful in all things, in all circumstances, because our God is worthy to be thanked and praised at all times. We're thankful when we are thankful. Listen to me. When you and I can be thankful in all circumstances, it changes our focus on whatever we're dealing with. It changes our eyesight, our perspective. It helps us to remember that no matter how dark it is, God is in control. And he's working something out. Thankfulness is not then just a helpful thing to cope. It's actually beneficial to us. It's actually it's therapeutic, if you will. It reminds us of the bigger picture. It reminds us that we belong to God and that we've been blessed, you and I, as his children, with every spiritual blessing. Truly, he has given us abundance. Now, as we talk about thankfulness, I need to take at least a few minutes and talk about the other side of that. The flip side is that being unthankful, ungrateful, because it changes then our focus in the wrong way. See, when the Bible says we have much to be thankful for and we should be grateful for, he also tells us about what happens when we are not thankful, when we have a heart that is a heart of ingratitude. When we are having a heart that is not grateful and not thankful, we become arrogant. Our fellowship with him suffers. Our fellowship with other people suffers. We cannot see things for as they really are. We begin to have a warped sense of what's really going on. We forget what it is to be a child of God, and we forget that we were created in the image of God, and as his children, we were created to receive from him these things of blessing. So God tells us a lot about being grateful, but he also tells us about the sin of ingratitude. It has severe repercussions. Romans chapter 1, Paul is talking about an individual or a group of people, like a whole group, a nation, a people, whatever. And he talks about the repercussions of what their lifestyle will be and the downward fall of a person or society when this society now comes away from God, right? And he talks about the issues that they'll deal with, of things like idolatry and homosexuality and all kinds of rebellion. And listed in all of those things is unthankfulness. It's how important this is to God, having a heart that is thankful versus a heart that is unthankful. He says in verse 21, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. And that's why they're in the predicaments they're in, and that's why their hearts are far from God, and that's why they become a reprobate mind or a reprobate heart. When we are ungrateful, we fail to fulfill our responsibility of acknowledging not only that God exists, but his very character. His very character. When we refuse to be thankful or to express gratitude, we can become hard-hearted. And as I said earlier, our focus begins to change. We could even then take for granted of all the things that God has given us and forget that we are really to be thankful, even if those things at the moment are causing us grief. Do you remember in the Bible story about Jesus and the healing the 10 lepers? Remember that story? Jesus walking, they were walking, they were like over there, he was over here. They yelled at him, "Yo, Jesus, you know, have mercy on us." Ah. And what does Jesus do? He yells back to them. He goes, "Hey, go show yourself to the priest." That's what he does. That's like, I mean, that's how they did it. Because just like, you know, you see somebody across you, you go, "Yo, buddy, yo." I say, "Yo, dudes, go show yourself to the priest." That was the interaction. Read it, Luke 17, read it. That's basically the interaction. It won't sound that way in your King James Bible, but it's you get the idea, right? No? Okay. Go, what do those dudes do? What do the 10 dudes do? They start going to the priest. Jesus didn't do anything spectacular. He didn't touch them. He didn't pour water on them. He didn't say, he just, go to see the priest. They went. Pretty cool. As they're walking to the priest, what happens to them? They get healed. Wow. Okay. Cool story. But it doesn't end there. One dude comes back. One. 10 get healed. One comes back. Jesus notices him. And he says it to the people around when this man comes back, that this man isn't even a Jew. He's a Samaritan. And he's the one that gave thanks back to God. He notices us when we give thanks. He noticed that man when he gave thanks. He notices us regardless of our position and who we are. You may think God doesn't really see me. Yes, he does. He knows you. He knows you so much better than you'll ever know yourself. And he knows what's going on, not only on the outside. He doesn't just observe us as, oh, look at them. Look what they're doing, running around. No, he knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows our attitudes, our motivations. He knows it all. He knew this man's heart. He says to the guy, where are the other 9? So not only did he notice the one that came back, he noticed the ones that didn't come back. See, they were all willing to do the religious service they needed to do for their healing. And they did it in faith, by the way. Think about that. Did they not respond in faith? Right? All Jesus says is, go show yourself to the priest. Okay. And as they're walking, they get healed. Huh. But you know, something to me says that within this, the other 9 started to somehow not recognize where their blessing came from. See, the way our minds work sometimes is that though everything comes from our Father, we sometimes take for granted the things that happen in our life. And one of them probably said, yo, Johnny, that was good. You were so loud, you made us hear. He couldn't hear us, but you were so loud, he heard us. And Phil, man, you said the right thing because, you know, Jesus said to us, go, you know. So, you know, that was really great, man. That was really good, you know. And you know, what were the chances that we would see Jesus pass? Well, we just got lucky. Right? Oh, yeah, we just got lucky today. We just, woo, we rolled the dice, man, and it came up our number. Oh, this is great. We got so lucky. They forget that it all came from Jesus. It all came from Jesus. They gave themselves credit, probably. Took it as just, oh, luck. Just happened to happen. I always hate, you know, one of the phrases I hate, oh, the universe today is saying this. And oh, stop. I want to. The universe doesn't speak. God speaks. Jesus said, be healed. Go. And they were healed. Only one was thankful. You know, it's interesting. When he comes back after Jesus notes everything else that happened with the other ones who weren't thankful, you know what he says to that man? Your faith has made you well. Now, years and years and years ago when I was a young Christian, I used to hear people interpret that and say stuff about that, which is not in the context at all. But they say things like this, see, if you get a healing from Jesus and you don't thank him, your healing's going to disappear. Well, no, there's nothing in that story that says the nine others became lepers again. It doesn't say that in there. Mm-mm. No, I believe they still walked clean with baby new skin. Then what's Jesus saying to this man? He's saying, you know what, dude? You came back and you're not only healed on the outside, you're healed on the inside. You have a heart that matches up, a new heart, not just new skin. And you know where your healing came from, and you know how to be thankful to the one who did such a great, marvelous work in your life. See, Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians. He says, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? What do we have that God did not give us? Tell me, what did you do in your life that made you have the things that you have? What did you do? Stop. Nothing. All comes from him. The good and what seems to be bad comes from him, the Father of lights. Everything. That's why we can be thankful in the good and in the things that don't seem to be good, because it comes from him. Because he's doing something in the things that aren't not seemingly good at the moment. See, the Bible is so full of commands. Again, I didn't do a listing of it. I didn't take the time because I didn't want to or need to, but maybe you want to. Maybe you can go back and find all the verses that deal with Thanksgiving. Maybe you want to do that. It's a beautiful thing to do. And you can find all the verses that say, you know, his love endures forever. Thank him. Thank him for his good. Thank him for his mercy is everlasting. Thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. And we cannot adequately praise and worship God without being thankful. It's in our best interest to be reminded that everything we have is a gift from him. And without the gratitude that he deserves, without the thanksgiving that he deserves, we then will become arrogant and self-centered. We begin to believe that whatever we have, not only did we create or give on our own, but they were responsible to do everything with it. Because guess what? Whatever he blessed you with, you can't even keep it right. You need his grace, his mercy, his love, his strength, his wisdom, his power in your life to keep what he's given you going, to keep those blessings and to bless others with them. Thankfulness keeps our hearts in the right relationship to the giver and all the good gifts. See, we have to be thankful people because, oh, you know what? In our depths of our heart, that heart that is deceitfully wicked, guess what, guys? And you know this if you're being honest with yourself. Inside, we're covetous people. And we always want what we don't have. We do. Oh, I'm so thankful that I was able to pay the bills this month, but I'm really not happy unless I had like $100,000 in the bank as a cushion, you know. Okay. We tend to focus on what we don't have. But we have to give thanks continually to be reminded of what we do have. And when we focus on blessings rather than wants, we are so much happier. And it changes our focus, our perspective. So what does our main text say? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Jesus Christ. We can't be thankful and unthankful at the same time. It doesn't work that way. We have to remember that regardless of what's going on in all circumstances, that our Father in heaven, who gives us all things, is working something out in us. And maybe it is just simply for you to go through the fire going through just to remember that he is on the throne. And to remember that he loves you with a complete love. And to remember that he knows what you're going through. He understands what you're going through. And he's waiting for you to say, Father, I need your help. The Bible calls a heart that can thank God in all things, it calls it a sacrifice of praise. Hebrews chapter 13. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's a praise offering to God when you can thank him in all circumstances, in all things. And he goes on to say in the next verse, because sometimes, and you guys know this, and that's what Jesus knew about the one leper that came back. He didn't just say, you know what, my mama raised me to always write a thank you card to everybody, so I got to at least go thank the guy. No, this man went because inside his heart, he said, I got to go back to this guy because he did something in my life that is so amazing. I got to tell him, I got to look him in the eye, I got to thank him. It wasn't just a polite thing. This was his heart. Jesus knew this came from this man's heart. Sometimes we can give God the courtesy, thank you, Jesus, but in our hearts, we're really not fully thankful. So that's why this verse says the sacrifice of praise, verse 16 says, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. In other words, when our hearts are changed towards God and our hearts of thanksgiving, we live it out. It's not just words that come out of our mouth. Oh, Pastor Joe, I'm thankful. Don't think I'm unthankful. No, I know you're thankful, but God is saying, are you living a thankful life? Is your life of thanksgiving contagious that other people are touched by your life because of the way you thank God in all circumstances and in all things? Are you able to say, I might not have a lot, but I thank God for what I have, and I can share the little I have with somebody else? Because God will provide all my needs, he promised. And he wants me to bless others. Even when you feel like, oh no, I got to hold it all because I might not have it tomorrow. Ooh. So can you and I thank him like Noah? Can you thank him like Noah when the entire world is destroyed? Yeah, you're thankful that you didn't drown with him, but can you think of that everything and everything you knew and everyone you knew is gone? And just you and your family to start all over again? Can you thank him like Noah? Can you thank him like Job when everything is taken away? Everything. Can you thank him like Joseph when your family betrays you? Can you? Can you thank him like Daniel, who was taken away as a young kid into captivity, and all the stuff that he had to go through and all these different things, even to the point where he had to go through three different administrations of different countries and kings and all this stuff, to the point where when they told him not to pray, he said, I'm going to pray and thank God anyway, even if it cost me the lion's den. Can you thank him when they're throwing you in the lion's den? No matter what you have to face, thank him knowing you're going to go into the lion's den. Can you thank him like Jonah? That your circumstances that you created, by the way, caused you to end up in the belly of the fish. Can you thank him in the belly of the fish to say, Lord, I get it, I repent. You allowed me to be in this situation because of my stupid actions, but Lord, I'm going to thank you that I'm in the belly of the fish. I'm going to thank you that you're going to save the enemies that I didn't want to go preach the good news to. Can you praise him and thank him like Jonah? Can you thank him like Hannah? Who knows the story of Hannah? Raise your hands. You know the story of Hannah. Not enough if you do. Real quick. Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Who's Samuel? First Samuel in the Bible. He is the last judge of Israel when there was a time of the judges before the king. Okay? Mighty man of God who's going to eventually anoint David to be the real king, right? Well, Hannah, guess what? She's married to a dude, and the dude has another wife, and the other wife has kids, and Hannah doesn't. And her husband, he really did love Hannah, he really did, but he didn't get her, because he says things to her like this: hey, Hannah, aren't I better than you than 10 sons? And she's like, no, you ain't that good, dude, you know. No, you're nice and all, but no, give me some kids, you know. Because see, back then, it's, you know, not bearing children for women who want to have children is a hard thing even today. But back then, it was considered like a curse. And she was completely at the mercy of the other wife who would ride her all the time. I got kids and you don't. I got kids, you know. And then the husband's like, yeah, don't worry about who you got me. And she's like, I want a child. She was so bad, she could not eat. They went to the tabernacle for celebration and worship and sacrifice, and she couldn't eat. She goes to the tabernacle and she's crying out to God so much that her lips are moving but nothing's coming out. And the priest comes by and he says, when are you going to stop being drunk? That's what he did. She's weeping to God. She's crying out to God. She goes to church and they accuse her of being drunk. Man, talk about a heart that had to be challenged to be thankful, right? she tells him the story, and I'm not drunk. I'm praying to God for a child and all. And then finally the priest, to his credit, says, okay, I'll pray for you that you'll get the, you know, your request from God. And she gets pregnant. But part of her request to God was, God, if you bless me with a child, I will give him back to you. Now, that wasn't just like talk. This meant not only will I give him back to you, like I'll train him up in the fear of the Lord. This was like, no, I will actually bring him to the tabernacle to work here. Well, she gets pregnant. In the first couple of years, she's still weaning the child, but her husband reminds her, Hannah, remember your promise to God. And guess what? Hannah does bring the boy back. But when Hannah thanks God and praises God, do you know what she thanks? I mean, you should read her prayer and thanksgiving to God. She thanks God not for Samuel and what she got. She thanks God for God. She thanks him more than she thanks him for the gift that he gave her. She thanks God because in her prayer to God, this is what she would be doing. Lord, I thank you. Now, you're not going to find these words in there, but she's thanking God. Lord, I thank God for who you are. I thank God that you heard my prayer. I thank God that unlike my husband or the priest, you get me. I thank God that you understand me better than I even know myself. I thank God that you know how hard it was for me to give up the son, though I promised it. I thank you, Lord, because you're even greater than my child that you blessed me with. And I got to trust him to you that you know something better and do something with his life that I can never do as his mom full time. She thanked God for him, not the gift. And God blessed her with other children. But it's her heart of thanksgiving to God that amazes me. Can you thank him like Hannah, where you thank him for himself more than what he can give you? Can you, like Paul, thank God in the midst of the storm itself? Can you? Paul, they were in the sea, but they were taking him to Rome, and this storm came up, and it was days. And they're like, we're dead men. We are dead. They're losing all hope. God appears to Paul and says, Paul, just tell them to all stay on board the boat. You'll all make it there. So you know what Paul does? Paul says, ooh, look, the sun's coming out. No, the sun ain't coming out. It's still a raging storm. So what does Paul do? He says, I must be hallucinating. Because there ain't no way God's getting us out of this thing. No. You know what Paul does? He hears from God. He tells everybody, we're going to give thanks to God. Let's eat something. Paul, we can't eat. We're throwing up our guts. We got no strength. Like, oh, just eat something. You're going to need it. You're going to need it because you're going to have to swim to shore. You're going to need it. Paul gets what? He gives thanks while the storm is still raging. Because he trusts the God who spoke his word to him. And he says, my God is bigger than my storm. My God knows what I need and what the people around me need. And my God will supply all of my needs. And he will protect me. That's why Paul was able to write to us in Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing. What's easy to say? Don't worry, be happy. Da, 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 da. Mm-mm-mm. Just be happy and put a smile on your face. No. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Now listen to this. Bring your prayers and your supplications, all your requests, with thanksgiving. Church, if you got one thing out of this message today, get this. That when you are a child of God, like Hannah, he knows you. Like Joseph, he knows you. Like Peter, like Paul, he knows you. Like the leper, he knows you. And when you call your Father in heaven, like Hannah, he hears you and understands you and knows what you need. And when you can cry out to your Father in the midst of your storm, and you can pray and go and bring it all to him and thank him before the storm ends, then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Church, he knows you. He knows what you need. He's a big God who's allowing this in your life for such a time as this to do something marvelous through it. How do I know this? Because of his promises. How do I know this? Because I've watched him and you've watched him do it time and time again. How do I know this? Because there is nothing too hard for our God. Only thank him. Only have hearts that will praise and thank him at all times. So giving thanks keeps our hearts right, our relationship right. It saves us from a harmful host of emotions and attitudes that will rob us of this peace. But God wants us to have that peace that surpasses all understanding to guard our hearts and minds. Father, thank you for your word today, for these reminders from Scripture of being thankful in all things. Lord, it's easy to say, oh yeah, but it seems to be harder to do. But Lord, I know that you can and have shown us how we can be thankful to you regardless of what we're dealing with. Father, I just pray your word today would change our minds, change our hearts, change our perspective, change our eyesight, change our attitude. Father, you know what we're dealing with more than we do, but you've seen the end. We only see it in the midst. We see it in the smoke of the fire. We see it in the trees of the forest. We cannot see too far in advance, but you can, and you're just saying to us, trust me and thank me.
Yes.
Because I'm already going to take you to a good end. I want to take you to the finished result, which is better than you could ever, ever imagine. But just thank me. And thank me. And thank me. Lord, let your word not return void. Let it accomplish to every hearer today, even those who will listen in later, everything you desire for it to accomplish in and through our lives. And we're going to give you thanks in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Don't rush out without thanking God. Don't rush out without thanking one another. Let's just praise and thank him for all that he's